Who enjoyed Pastor Eddie's message last week? I did. 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Wow. I really enjoyed it. Wasn't he funny? So I have to apologize. I'm not as funny as Eddie. But this morning I'm trying to break things up a bit and we'll probably surprise a few people. Okay, so just want to prepare you. I don't want to offend anyone, so please don't be offended. But just enjoy things for what they are, I hope. Okay. Now, how many people are blessed to have grandchildren? Put your hand up. Look at all of those grandparents out there. How many people have ever had a grandparent? Put your hand up. Hopefully everyone puts their hand up because most people have had a grandparent. That's great. I'd just like you to think about young children, about the primary school age. They're just full of wonder and awe, and they're looking around at the world. Everything's new. They're excited and enthusiastic about things. One thing I love about kids about primary school age is they haven't heard the jokes before. So nearly every joke is a new joke to them. So brand new audience, they haven't heard it before. Ellie's my great supporter. She laughs at my jokes even when they're not funny, which is excellent. Kirith is not so amused. And Mary is not so amused normally. But Ellie, thank you for your support there. That's awesome. And you know, that brings me on to dad jokes. Dads love to tell really corny jokes, have you noticed that? And they're often really not that funny. But sometimes you might get a chuckle, or you might go, oh, my goodness. Anyway, I've got a few dad jokes for you this morning. If you ever wanted to know how to write hello in Mandarin, well, there you go. That's how you write hello in Mandarin. So I imagine that you didn't expect to get a language course this morning, did you? But there you go, hello in Mandarin. So you now know some Chinese. Okay, next one, please. The oldest dad joke in the book. Has anyone seen that, where the dad goes and grabs their nose? Well, that's the oldest one, when you go near the Sphinx. See, the Sphinx is missing its nose. There you go. That's the most ancient one. Wow. Luke's enjoying that. One more. Okay, did you know scuba divers, now Sarah will know this, they roll backwards off the boat because if they rolled forward, they would just go into the boat. That's why scuba divers roll backwards when they get off the boat. Okay. Hope you enjoyed those dad jokes. Very intellectual, I know, but now, coming to closer to what we're here to talk about today. Now, let's run the race is my topic this morning. And do you know, there were some fast people in the Bible. And some people reckon that Elijah was the fastest man in the Bible. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18. And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So get this. Ahab the king's in his chariot, they're on top of a mountain, and he has been told to go down as fast as he can to go to the city. And then Elijah outran him. How about that? But I disagree. It's not Elijah who's the fastest man in the Bible. It was obviously Adam. He came first in the human race. Okay. But the other thing I like about young kids is that they have heroes. My boy Kirith, he used to like cricket when he grew up. But that changed a bit when he went to the UK and he really got into soccer or football, that round ball sport. And there are some great heroes like Messi and Ronaldo and all those people, some of the older people might remember, like Pelé or Beckham or some of those greats. There are a lot of people get really enthusiastic about following their heroes, don't they? And especially children. They put posters up on their wall and they do whatever sport that their hero did. And we might notice a lot of ads on TV now about the Olympics and kids collecting their swap cards and stuff about the Olympics and that sort of thing. You know, kids love to look up to sports people. You know, recently we've been very privileged in Australia to see some sports stars, haven't we? Like Ash Barty did well at Wimbledon, didn't she? Go Ash Barty. And you might have noticed there was a cycling race. Do you want to put that slide up there? Tour de France, anyone see any of that? Yeah, there's some really nice scenery in France. Has anyone seen it on TV? You see some nice buildings and lovely vistas of fields and mountains. Anyway, next slide. This is sort of like what it looks like when they're all there in their big bunch called a peloton. But if you look at the next slide, anyone know who that is? Yeah, Ben O'Connor. He came first in one of the stages, stage 9, in the Alps this year, and is only one of 5 Australians to come first and win a stage. How about that? And it was his first Tour de France. Yeah, he's from Frio and is 25 years old. Imagine doing that, 25 years old. My goodness. The 4th Australian to finish in the top 5 in the Tour de France. Wow. I think that's pretty good. Some commentators have said he's a podium threat next year, and that's what his team will probably focus on. Anyway, there's another big sporting event that you might have noticed is happening. The Olympics. I've heard that Eddie and Marguerite like to look at the swimming. Do you enjoy that? Anyone else enjoy the swimming? Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of Australians like to follow that. Bodyboarding? Volleyball. I didn't think bodyboarding was in there. Surfing is this year. Anyway, next slide. You might have noticed that the Australians were quite proud. Some of the team were there leading them out. Paddy Mills and Kate Campbell at the front were flag bearers, doing well. But, you know, it's not just their skills that gets them there. There's a bit of sometimes they've got to be in the right place at the right time. And let's look at a scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Again I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favour to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. And you know, a great example of this is a Australian Olympian called Stephen Bradbury. Does anyone remember him? This is what he looks like. He's a skater. And back in 2002, he'd spent 10 years rehabilitating from a skating accident. So his coach had put him through all this hard work, 10 years slogging away to get back up to Olympic qualifying level. But he wasn't the fastest. But still, he hung in there. Next slide. His strategy was, I'm not the fastest, so I'll just hang back and I'll let all the ones that are likely to get a gold fight out in the front. And who knows what will happen. Anyway, what happened next? They all fell over. So, Stephen Bradbury, next slide, won gold. Cruised in for gold. It was a very good one. Yes, Marlene. And you know, he was quoted in an interview later, after winning his gold. Bradbury reflected, obviously I wasn't the fastest skater. I don't think I'll take the medal as the minute and a half of the race I actually won. I'll take it as the last decade of the hard slog I put in. And you know, because he put in that effort, that hard slog, he was there at the right place at the right time to take that opportunity. Amen? Thank you, Stephen. So, you know, it's now in the dictionary, the Australian dictionary. Doing a Bradbury means someone winning in an unlikely scenario. Someone coming in and winning something they weren't expecting to win. But you know, he was patient. He stuck to his strategy. He didn't try and run with the front people. He did what the coach and he had agreed. They hang back. They had a plan. He was patient. He waited. He watched. And then when the opportunity presented itself, he won. You know, life can be like that. You see, sometimes we might not be the smartest or the fastest, or we might not know our Bible the best, but as Christians, let's hang in there. Let's run the race. When we persist, we can be at the right place at the right time just to take that opportunity when we've done the preparation. So, a good way to think about it, I think, is with the right preparation, discipline, and training, then when the opportunity comes, we can take advantage. And you know, we can be prompted by the Holy Spirit. We can know that still small voice and then now's the time to talk to that person. Now is the time to do such and such for that person. And that can be just what's needed at that time and place. So don't be worried if you don't think you're the strongest, smartest, fastest, but let's rely on who is our partner and who is our coach, our Holy Spirit, coaching us to be in the right place at the right time. But you know, training is required. I'm sorry, training is required. You see, following Jesus isn't just an aimless walk and a stumble through life. If you've purposed to be a disciple of Jesus, then it's a deliberate walk. And that means training is required. Just like an athlete trains and they can't expect to not train, then go to the Olympics and do well. Is that going to work? No, because all their other competitors have trained well. To do well at the Olympics, they have to be right up there with all their competition in their training. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah says, "If you have raced with the men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with the horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan?" Some other translations, what will you do in like the thorns? So when things are going easy, if you just take it easy and don't make the most of your opportunity, how will you survive when things get tough? It's just like for an athlete who thinks, oh, I can just rely on all the training I've done and I won't train anymore because I'm fine. Or the Christian that says, oh, I don't need to read my word or pray. I've done that before. I'll just go along and things will be fine. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is a very well-known scripture, but it's worth repeating. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. There's that training word again. That the man of God, that is God's messenger, may be complete. You know, we're all God's messenger in this world. If you're a disciple of Jesus, it's not just preachers. It's not just people who write books. You're God's messenger if you are his disciple. That the man of God or God's messenger may be complete, equipped for every good work. Right place, right time, ready for that opportunity as it shows up. So training is essential. So if we never read our Bible, how are we going to know what's in it? How are we going to be trained to have our mind trained and our spirit trained to take that opportunity? Now, you might be a little bit daunted. You know, we've had COVID, we've had school holidays. You might have got a little bit slack and got out of the habit of reading your word. It happens to me from time to time. And you know what the solution is? Just like people who go to the gym or athletes who are training, the solution is to just start. Just start. Just open your Bible and start. Read one verse. If that's all you can do, start. Then read the next one. And then go, I can read just one more. And soon you'll be into it. Soon you'll be onto it. So does that make sense? Just start. So figure out the time in the day that works for you. Might be first thing in the morning, might be first thing when you come home, might be when you're going to sleep at night. Just start. Does that sound like a reasonable suggestion? Often athletes use that trick to help themselves keep training. They just start. They think, oh, I can't face swimming more laps in the pool again this morning. I can't face running 12 kilometres, hey Eddie, this morning. But they just start. They go, oh, I'll start with a little run. I'll start with doing one lap. And once they're in the pool, away they go. Once they're on the track, away they go. Once you're in the Word, away you go. You'll be into it and you'll be in the zone. Amen. So don't put it off. Just get started. Next slide. Oh, I think I'm missing a slide. No. Was there a slide before that? Or after it? Bible reading went next slide, maybe. I've got them all mixed up by the look of it. Yeah, this one. This is the one I wasn't expecting. That's obviously a dad joke, that one, isn't it? Those dogs are obviously inbred. Yes. Yes, you've got to watch. You've got to get your dogs from the correct breeder. You've got to make sure they're not inbred. Okay. Right, competing according to the rules. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Told you it'd be a bit random this morning. Okay. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. So like diet, exercise, sleep, those sorts of things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So they are competing for an earthly prize, but we are in a race that has a heavenly prize. Amen? Amen. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, or shadow boxing. Must have had that back then in the first century. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So this is a bit of a warning for all disciples of Jesus. Unless we compete according to the rules, unless we discipline ourselves and bring ourselves under self-control, we put ourselves at risk of being disqualified. And even if we've introduced others to Jesus and we've achieved all this great stuff for the Lord and in his kingdom, make sure we do it according to the rules. Make sure that we don't become disqualified ourselves. How do we know what the rules are? We read the Word. We pray. We come along to church. We listen to the Word preached. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:5 says, an athlete is not crowned unless they compete according to the rules. So you can't win the prize if you don't obey the rules. Like in the F1, if you run someone off the road, you might be disqualified, or you might just have a time penalty. In the Olympics, if you run outside the lines on the running track, you can be disqualified. In the walking race, if you run, you'll be disqualified. And you can't win a prize if you're disqualified. So let's not be disqualified. Let's do the training, but also compete according to the rules. Because if we do all that training, it'll be a waste to then not compete according to the rules. Amen? Next slide. Okay. Oh, that's the difference between a Kia and a Nokia. Okay, right. They're a bit random, aren't they? Oh, my gosh. So someone obviously didn't read their sat-nav properly and didn't obey the road rules and ended up in the pond. Let's not end up in the pond, or we'll have Nokia instead of Kia. Okay, so we've trained. We've competed according to the rules. We then have to have persistence. We then have to endure to the end. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Someone's still laughing. That's hilarious. Ephesians chapter 6, Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. And then on to verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So pray for all the saints, but also pray for Luke, pray for Peter, pray that the word goes out. Amen. You know, prayer expands our capacity. It expands our spiritual capacity, and it helps us endure. You know, an athlete won't win unless they endure. If you're a marathon runner like Pastor Eddie, you won't win unless you get to that finish line. In the Tour de France, you see them taking water and taking food on the way so that they can endure. Like that, Christians need to pray. They need to have that as a regular routine to endure, to build up our capacity, our tenacity. Prayer is how we can build that up. Amen? Let's endure to the end. I've got another slide. I'm friends with 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. Now, the problem with this one is you can't tell it to primary school age kids because they won't know that there's 26 letters in the alphabet, you see? So you need to think, who's your audience? You know, you've got to, who's your audience? Everyone here knows there's 26 letters in the alphabet. So. Luke never heard anyone laugh. There you go. Well, moving right along. You know, we don't only have to endure to the end, but we may have to do some resistance training. Often when you go to the gym, you might need to do some resistance training, as you can tell by these guns. You know, resistance training, really. Oh, that got a laugh, my goodness. Let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The key to resisting the devil is humility. So even though we're training, even though we're praying, even though we're enduring to the end, even though we're putting on the full armor of God, we need to remember that we are servants of Christ. Humility is what grabs God's attention, and humility defeats the attacks of the enemy. So we resist the devil by being humble. And so once you're as humble as me, you've made it. That was a joke, right? Oh dear. Humility is a key. God is the one who deserves the glory, you see. See, the glory is not for us and the spotlight's not for us. When we are graciously able to join God in his kingdom's purposes, we are only his servants and we've only done what he's asked us to do. Do you get that? We get graciously invited to join God in his kingdom purpose. But when we've done what he's asked us, we're only servants that have done what we've been asked to do. So there is no glory for us, which is great. God gets all the glory. So prayer, resistance training, humility, training, and reading the word. Amen? And you know, having done all of that, the crowd cheers us on. So we know we're not alone. There is a crowd who is cheering us on. Let's read Hebrews 12, which Ma read out earlier. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Again, we need to endure to the end, not growing weary, not becoming faint-hearted. Let's run with endurance the race set before us. Let's not faint. Amen? Let's have some endurance. We got another slide up there? You know, the athletes are going to have to run with endurance to achieve something in their chosen sport. But you know, with these days of COVID, there's not going to be many crowds there in the auditoriums. They're going to be pretty empty. There'll be a few people, but there won't be as many as they expect. Thousands will be watching on television though. Millions. They even reckon billions could be watching live on TV. Isn't that amazing with modern technology? But you know, we as disciples of Christ have all of those who have gone before us as witnesses. They're cheering us up on. In heaven now, all of those saints that have gone before, they've gone, endure, run the race, train, come on, you can do it. Luke, you can do it. Joseph, you can do it. Lisa, you can do it. Lockie, you can do it. They're cheering us on. Isn't that great? And rather than just the empty stadium claps that we'll hear at the Olympics, all of heaven will be behind us, cheering us on. Amen? Isn't that a great encouragement? We are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. God hasn't left us as orphans in this world. Amen? Many of us might watch the Olympics in the coming weeks, but let's use it as a reminder that we are in a race, that we are being cheered on, and that our race is not competing for a medal like these guys that has a ribbon on it that's just some earthly treasure or some earthly glory. But our prize is a heavenly prize. Our goal is a heavenly goal. Our goal is to see all the people we can, the people we love, our friends, our neighbours, in heaven with us, celebrating. Amen? That is our goal. That is our prize. So let's not give up hope. Let's not abandon our training. Let's not ignore our coach, the Holy Spirit. Let's not give up prayer. The key is just starting. Let's not give up reading our word. The key is just starting. If you've let it slip, let's get back on the horse. Let's get back on the treadmill and start going. But you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I put a few really corny dad jokes in this message, but that's to remind us as well that there is joy. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And you know, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. So though it requires some discipline and some training and some persistence, our discipleship journey has joy as well. So be encouraged. It's not all doom and gloom. We have a race to run, but we can enjoy the race as well. Amen? Let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. In the end, let's be like Paul. And he was saying to Timothy, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Let's be in a position to say we've run the race when we've finished. Amen? So let's remember prayer, the word, perseverance. Let's press on and win the race. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I thank you that you haven't left us alone or as orphans in this world. You've sent your Spirit to dwell within us, and you've empowered us by prayer, and you've given us your word. And Lord, as we lean in to the task you've given us, we pray that you would encourage us. Lord, that you would propel us into where you'd have us be. And Lord, if we've let things slip, if we've neglected prayer or the word, Lord, help us just to lift up that training again, lift up that discipline again, and Lord, enjoy our walk with you, following Jesus, every day of our life. Lord God, I pray that each listener today would, Lord, take up that challenge and follow you with all their heart and all their soul, today and into this week. Lord God, bless us as we go and help us to live for you each day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord bless you. Run the race with perseverance. Hallelujah.
Well, that was a great message. I hope you feel encouraged. You know, I was just reminded of what Paul said to the Galatians. He said, you were running so well, but who cut in on you? And Dave alluded to that in his sermon, that sometimes, you know, things happen. It's like we get cut off a bit. And that happens in our lives. Sometimes we get pushed off the road, so to say, you know, and it's a battle to get back on. But I encourage you, let's run the race, amen? Let's get up again. Even when we fall down, and if you watch the Tour de France, you see how many times those cyclists fell down and had accidents, and the one poor lady was just holding up a placard, and she didn't even see them coming, and they rode into it, and half of them got injured, and they all fell down. It's amazing how that can happen while you're running the race sometimes. And so I pray this morning that each one of us will be encouraged by this word, and we'll get up again, take your marks, get set, go. So thank you, Dave. And there's an awesome lunch out there. And so first come, first serve. So go and have your lunch. If you don't have any cash, you can buy a ticket over here and just take it down there. And let's have some good fellowship together today. God bless you. Have an awesome day. Don't come to church tonight.